Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Well, good morning, church, and good morning to our Facebook friends. This morning we're going to live stream to Facebook this morning. For all of those folk who can't get to church and for whatever reason, we also want to provide for them as well so they get to see and hear the word. We know that sometimes on our voice messages that we do our props and things, and people must be scratching their head as to what we're doing, so we're going to do some live streaming as well. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see how we go with that. I'll have to remember that I'm just not so self-conscious, you know. Yeah. So the last few weeks we've been talking a lot about the fivefold ministry. We've been talking about spiritual gifts. We've been talking about how the fivefold ministry works within the New Covenant Church. And Anthony spoke some messages on that as well. They're on our website if you would like to have a look. And Ray last week spoke about using your gifts. And this morning I thought I would tie all that together with a New Covenant leadership. How does that look in the New Testament for a New Covenant leadership? What does that look like? What is it supposed to look like in the New Testament? What is leadership supposed to look like? I don't want to blow my trumpet or anything, but I think we're looking pretty good as a leadership team. You know, we're sort of, and we think that's pretty much how it worked in the early church, is that they worked as a team. They couldn't do everything themselves, and you don't want to do everything yourself. The days of the one-man band are over. Who's going to say amen to that? The days of the one-man band are over, and we now need to work in a team. It's really team church. We don't really have four pastors in the church. We really have 50, 60 pastors in the church. That's what we really have. Because we should all be caring for one another. We should all be looking out for one another. After the service, we meet together, we have coffee, and I drop into some conversations and I hear people say things like, "How was your week?" And I hear some really honest answers. "My week was crap." That's fair enough. Be honest with one another and pray for one another, care for one another. That's what church is all about. It's all about being a family. So this morning I'm going to talk about New Covenant leadership, and I just want to open in prayer. It's just open. Father, we pray for this coming generation of people that you would raise up servant leaders willing to take on the challenge of the modern day church. We pray that this generation would not be lost, but that you would empower us to train and equip a new generation of young men and women for this time, for this generation. In Jesus' name, amen. By and large, the church has lost its way, for has not become as relevant as it should be to the modern generation. And if anyone read the census the other week, you'll know that people are dropping off church attendance in droves. And the reason for that, we believe, is that they've mixed an Old Testament model and a New Testament model, and they've sort of tried to putty it together, and it just doesn't quite work. And it certainly doesn't work in the modern context of our society. And so a lot of people are still trying to use a hierarchical church leadership structure to run their churches. And it simply doesn't work anymore. It's not the way it's meant to be in the New Testament. It's not the leaders are up, you know, we're at the top of the pecking order. It doesn't work like that. If anything, we're at the bottom of the pecking order and we wash more feet. That is the New Testament model. The New Testament model is that we are here to serve you. And you should, in likewise, serve one another. That's the New Testament model. It's pretty simple. The New Testament demonstrates to us a new kind of leadership, not like any of the leadership models that we've seen in the past. No one saw a leader like Jesus coming. Not the religious organizations, not the people, and certainly not the governing bodies. This was completely a paradigm shift. It was a shift in thinking, a new way to lead, bringing a new covenant into the world. You should really think of your church leaders and us in particular a bit like scaffolding. We are the scaffolding in your lives. You should reach a point where you don't really need us anymore. Where the children become the fathers and the mothers of a new generation. So passionate about the things of God that they outshine their leaders in everything they do. That's our hope for you. That's our hope for you out there watching us on Facebook. That you'd catch a passion for God. And that you would just get so caught up in the things of God that it would just spread like wildfire. Jesus desired the exact same thing for his disciples. He said in John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, "Verily, or truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to my Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it." Wow. He desired that for his disciples. Jesus didn't want his disciples to go, "Oh, well, Jesus is gone. It's all over. All right, I'll just go fishing." Well, actually, one of them did do that. But, you know, he wanted them to go on beyond what he had taught. He wanted them to go beyond what they had seen. He wanted them to raise the dead. He wanted them to heal the sick. He wanted them to make the blind see, the deaf hear. He wanted them to do stuff. He wanted them to make a difference in their life. My eyes are looking to a new generation who will continue the work we have begun. I desire the eyes of Samuel to see those of this generation who will be our future leaders, who lead according to the new covenant principles, not the Old Testament law, who walk by faith and not by sight, who have Jesus at the center of their gospel, not attached like an afterthought. Many modern churches try to base their leadership style on the Old Testament archetypes. The best I can say of that idea is good luck with that. Doesn't work very well. Every Old Testament leader shows pretty much how not to do it. We cannot look at the Old Testament leaders as our guides in the New Testament. It doesn't work. It doesn't gel. We are not living in the Old Testament. When was the last time that you went up onto a mountain and sacrificed a goat, a lamb or a pigeon? None? No one? Oh, that's good. That's good news. It doesn't happen today, guys. We're not living in the Old Testament. We can't live under that paradigm. But pretty much the two leaders that they use for leadership 101 in the modern church, of course, are Saul and David. And they make out that Saul was the bad leader and David was the good leader. I hate to tell you, they were both bad leaders. They were not good. They're not a good way to look. Saul was completely insecure in himself. And that led him to be controlling, manipulative, and intent on killing anyone who got in the way of what he wanted. You ever met leaders like that? He was terrified of losing his cushy position at the head of the table, so much so that he becomes presumptuous and he goes and makes a sacrifice out of place, and that loses him the kingdom. We can't lead like that. We can't lead out of control, manipulation. I will never control you or manipulate you. If you want to do something, do it. You can come and ask my advice, and I'm more than happy to give it. But you are your own person, and you need to make up your own mind. You are an adult. Sometimes I wonder, but generally you are adults. You need to act like an adult, make up your own mind. David was self-focused. David wanted what he wanted when he wanted it, and I want it now. And you read over and over again, even to the point where he's riding through this city, one of the family members of Saul comes out and starts, you know, having a go at him. One of the soldiers says, "You should stop him doing that." And he goes, "No, no, let him be. Oh, he's having a little pity party. It's all about me, you know. See, they're talking, you know." You can't be like that. It's not about us. It's never been about us. It's always going to be about Jesus. It's not about you, and it's not about me. David is so much about himself that he's up on this top of his castle. He's supposed to be out at war. You can read this in the Old Testament, 1 Kings, I think. And he looks out and he sees this young chicky babe out on the rooftop having a bath. Now, any right leader would have went, "Oops," and went the other direction. No, not David. He went, "Yes." And he goes to his servant and he asks for her to be called. She's a married woman. Boom, boom. This cannot end well. This cannot end well, guys. So, of course, we know the story. He gets Bathsheba pregnant, and then eventually, to cover his sin, rather than admitting the sin, he doesn't even do that. He tries to cover it up. Some leaders are like this. They've sinned in their life and they're trying to cover them up. It doesn't work, folks. It just doesn't work. So he decides he's going to have the husband done away with. And he does. He gets the husband killed. And, of course, Nathan the prophet comes to David, and we know the story. He literally, in the middle of the court, in front of everybody, says what David has done. "Whatever you do in secret will be shouted from the rooftops," is what the Word of God tells us. We can't be a leader like that. We can't have leaders like that. It doesn't work. We must be open and transparent. It's never about us. It's always about the people. If David loved his people, he wouldn't have done that, because it caused a huge drama in Israel. Because wherever in the Old Testament, whatever the king did, well, it pretty much filtered down to the people. Not good. The New Testament's not like that. My sins are my own. Your sins are your own. You need to confess them between you and God and deal with them the best as you can. If you can't deal with them yourself, come and talk to us. We will help you where we can. John 13, 14 to 17. Jesus shows a different kind of leadership. Jesus is completely different. He knows who he is. He knows his purpose. He loves his people so much, he's willing to give his life for them. His leadership to us is more than lip service. He demonstrates he means business by going to the cross. Although he was the high king and high priest over all creation, he considered that to serve others was the most important thing. And in John 13, 14, 17, he says this to his disciples after he demonstrates, he washes their feet. He gets down, strips off his gear, puts on a towel, sits down before them and washes their feet. And then he says this to them, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Truly I say, or I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." A new covenant leader's role is to serve. We are the servant of all. You'll often find that we will be one of the first to arrive, and we're often the last to leave. That is the way it works. That is what leaders do. Whether you're leading a church, or whether you're leading a music team, or whether you're leading children's work, or whether you're leading a sound desk, or whether you're leading the kitchen team, it doesn't matter what you're leading. If you're leading it, you are the servant of all. You serve the people whom decide that they're going to come and help you. When Ray takes a mission team into the Philippines, he will serve the people. He knows what it is to be a leader. He will serve you as a leader should. And it's not that we're going, "Oh, wow, that's cool. Now I can get served. Oh, that's cool." No, then you serve as well. We are a kingdom not of kings and priests, even though we are. We are a kingdom of servants. If you desire leadership, which is a good thing, if you desire to serve God in a bigger and better capacity, that's awesome. Serve. All New Testament leaders come through the servant's door. They never come through the front entrance, the back entrance. They always come through the servant's door. Because we are servants. We're here to serve. I love this. In Luke 22, 24 to 27, a dispute arose among them. Yes, the disciples had arguments. They didn't agree on every point. They're not meant to. We're not meant to agree on every point. Put two people in a room and ask them to agree on everything. Yeah, good luck with that. Just doesn't happen. So disputes will arise between us from time to time. Disputes will arise between yourselves and somebody else in the congregation. Sometimes I have to mediate those discussions. And I hear people say things like, "I forgive them, but I'll not talk to them ever again." Well, that's not forgiving them. Or, "I'll forgive them, but, you know, I won't associate with them." That's not forgiving them. Forgiveness comes when the heat of the emotion is gone and you win back your brother or your sister. That is the gospel of the New Testament. Our whole aim is to win relationships. And if that means that we have got to say, "I'm sorry," when I wasn't sorry, say sorry. We have a little rule in our house that is, the first person to say sorry wins. What's that, Joey? Joey always wins. Joey always wins. It's just the truth. Somebody needs to give ground. And when two people stand up against one another, rah, 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 somebody must give ground. I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'm sorry that I made you feel that way. It's all helpful. Because what's it about? It's about winning one another. It's about winning the lost to Christ. Please don't go evangelizing by telling people that they are dead in their sins. It doesn't work. You know, to love people. Love will draw people. When they know that you love them, they will come. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. Friendship evangelism really should be the modern church. It's all about your neighbours, your friends. It's all about your family. That's what the New Testament's about. Why did the New Testament church grow so rapidly? It grew rapidly because, A, they were under persecution. They had no one else to hang around with other than their brothers and sisters in Christ. They sold everything so that they could all be in one accord together. And I'm not saying we don't need to do that. We're not under persecution, church. We're not. We should love each other wholeheartedly. We're not forced to. Nor should we be. New Testament leadership is marked by these things. Number one, first to serve. We're the first one to put our hand up and say, yep, I'll do that. We don't serve based on our preference. I don't go to the music team and say, look, music guys, you need to play these four songs. I want you to play these four songs today. No, I expect that they're going to wait on God and on the Holy Spirit and get the right things to play. And I'm hoping that it's going to be a good mix of things, something for the older people, something for the middle, something for the young people. You know, they don't have to do that. They could play four hymns if they wanted to. I would die, but they could. You know, they could play four rocking songs if they wanted to. You know, they could play heavy metal for all I care. You know, as long as they're serving God with all their heart. That's what matters. But they're the first to serve. Lost my place. Okay. New Testament church leaders are empowering. We will empower you. You can do it. You can do it, Maria. You can do it. It can be done. You can do it, Tom. You can do it, Brett. You can do it, Tom. Yeah. We'll empower you. Can you take the Central Coast for Jesus? Yes. Why not? We're empowering. It's not like this. Well, if you come and you sit in the first two rows for 6 months and you come to church every week and then you do a 6 weeks course on, you know, good discipleship 101, then maybe we'll consider that you can do something in the church. That's not how the New Testament's supposed to work, guys. You're supposed to put your hand up and say, I have a passion to see the lost won for Christ. Go and do it, I'll be saying. I have a passion to see young people won for Jesus. Go and do it. I have a passion to see somebody go into the nursing homes and play little hymns to the older people. Go and do it. We're empowering. You don't need any more than the book. You've got the book. Use it. Oh, but I'm not very good. I don't know much about my Bible. That's good. That's good. Because the only thing you'll probably know is Jesus. And if you just tell them Jesus, then you're probably a step ahead of most of us. Oh, yeah, but I say the wrong thing all the time, you know, like, you know, in the middle of while I'm talking to them, I'm swearing and I'm this and I'm that. Great, because they probably are too. Don't worry about it. Be yourself. Be you. The New Testament leadership is an empowerment church. We are empowerment. We are to empower those that we bring into the gospel. We give freedom. We don't impart laws. It's not about do this and don't do that and do this and don't do that. We might say things you shouldn't do that aren't helpful. There are some things in life that certainly are not helpful. And we might mention those things, but that's not what it's about. You're adults. Work out what you should be doing and work out what you shouldn't be doing. And if you shouldn't be doing whatever it is, and your heart's saying, I shouldn't be doing that, stop doing it. Hello. You know? If you can't get on your computer without going to the Playboy site, go and pick up your computer and throw it to the nearest window. You won't have a problem with it again. Separate yourself from the thing that causes you to sin. Don't dwell on it. Take every thought captive to Christ. What David should have done when he walked, looked over that thing is went, oops, I'm sorry. It's what he should have done. And that's what we should do. And it's not that we say that we're without sin. We are, all have sins. We've all got things that we've fallen short of God. I don't have a book big enough to write all my sins in. But one of the beautiful parts about Jesus is that he has forgotten my sins. They have been separated from me as far as the east is from the west. All I have to say is, Lord, I'm messed up again. Sorry about that. And if I'm truly in my heart sorry, he knows. If you say, I'm sorry, but you're not really, he knows. Okay. We prefer love over judgment. Love is our preferred medium of communication. That would be our preference. We would prefer to love you than to judge you. Now, we do read in the New Testament where things were going awry in the church. And Paul had to bring some judgment. Now, as leaders, you can tell I don't really want to say this, but as leaders, sometimes we will have to do those things. We will have to make a call on something. I'm sorry, God, we can't do that. We're not going that way. That's part of leadership. But we would prefer love over judgment. We prefer to be kind rather than cruel. I had a leader many years ago who would attack me at the drop of a hat verbally. And I asked him one day why he kept doing that, and he said, I just want to make you strong. That is a load of garbage. He had issues. The man had big issues, and he was venting them on me and justifying it by saying that he was teaching me something. It's rubbish. I never have to be cruel to be kind. And the end never justifies the means. Never. I had another leader who once upon a time would ask me two questions every week. How much money was in your bank and how many people showed up? Wrong questions to be asking. Completely inappropriate and completely wrong for a leader. You should have been asking, how are your people going and are they growing in Christ? That's what I ask. How are your people going and are they growing in Christ? And my next question is, and how are you going and how's your family going? Are you coping with the pressure of leadership? How's your family coping with the pressure of leadership? See, that's what real leaders do. They care about the people because it's always about the people. There's an Old Testament scripture. It's in Genesis 40. And Abraham's coming back from fighting a battle. And he comes past Jerusalem and the guy comes out. What's the guy's name? The guy comes out. Melchizedek comes out and the other guy comes out. The king of Jerusalem. Anyone tell me? Salem, king of Salem. Anyway, he comes out. And he says this line to Abraham, and it's a classic line. He says, "You take all the goods and all the bits and pieces, and I'll just have the people." And he was an evil king. And Abraham said, "No way." You can read it in Genesis 40. "No way," he says. Why? Because the people were the more important thing. It's always about the people. And as a New Testament leader, it's always about the people. It's always about how are you going? Are you growing in Jesus? How's your family going? Do you need us to pray for you? How can we help? That's what it's about. Cruelty never works. Intimidating leadership should not even be a thing in the New Testament at all. Intimidating leaders have control issues and just no. Nah. We should be fathers and not teachers. There's nothing wrong with being a teacher, but we should first of all be fathers and mothers. It's a family, church. If I teach, but I teach like I'm being paid to teach, you see what I'm saying? We've lost that connection as family. We need to be fathers and mothers together. We esteem others better than ourselves. Romans 8. We esteem others better than ourselves. We honor one another. That's the New Testament leadership. We encourage others' gifts. We're not envious or jealous of them. I'm not envious of Anthony in the way that he can present a great message. I'm not envious about the fact that he can pick up a saw and actually cut it straight. I am, actually. I tried yesterday. I tried to make something anyway. It was not quite straight. But anyway, I tried. But we're not jealous. We're not envious. We're encouraging. We encourage each other's gifts. We love each other's gifts. We say, "That's fantastic you've got that gift. I don't have it, but you've got it. Run with it." And I don't bag the gifts that I don't have because I don't have them, so therefore they mustn't exist because I don't have them. What's that? We are encouragers. We understand as New Testament leaders that we are a piece of the puzzle, not the puzzle itself. We're just a piece of the puzzle, like you're a piece of the puzzle. And if we all fit ourselves together, we become a huge mosaic, a colourful metaphor for the kingdom of God. And we all work in together. We don't step over each other to get anywhere. We are not ambitious in our leadership. Many years ago when I first became a pastor, I said nothing to the senior leadership, nothing. We're driving down past Westfield one day with Diane and I said, "I think we're supposed to lead a church." She said, "Yeah." I said, "I think it's going to be this one." She nearly started crying, but it was not this church, it was another church. I just felt that you don't promote yourself. Promotion doesn't come from the east to the west, it comes from the Lord. So I said nothing. And one day, one of the senior leaders brought us in and asked us, would we take the church? And I straight away said yes. I didn't think very well or through it. But anyway, God takes you through stuff. You know, God will often send you or tell you where you're going, but not tell you what you're going to go through to get there. Because if you knew what you were going to go through to arrive, you wouldn't go. You would run away screaming. I certainly would have back then. We are just a part of the puzzle. The New Testament leadership is a very different thing. It's nothing like the Old Testament model. Nothing like it. It's not meant to be. We should be kind and generous, forgiving, loving. We should be all of those things. And not just the leaders, but all of us. If you haven't seen somebody at church, give them a call. Don't wait for the leaders to call. Well, nobody's called me. None of the leaders have called me. We're all working, church. If you call me at work, I'll say, I'm at work, guys. Because when I'm at work, I'm working. That's the right thing to do. Call me after hours, sure. But call one another. Love on one another. Care for one another. That's what the New Testament's all about. And if you really desire to be a leader in a church context, learn to serve. Because if you want to be somebody, if that's the reason you want to be in leadership, it's the wrong reason, the wrong motive. Because we make ourselves of no account. We make ourselves nothing that you might be something in Jesus. We don't exalt ourselves. We don't lift ourselves up higher than we should. We don't lead from above. We just stand in the front. So it's not a model like this. It's like this. We're just the guys at the front. That's all. We're not above you. We're not under you. So we don't like to be manipulated or controlled or any of those things either, like you don't. So if we love one another and we care for one another, it leads me to this last scripture. If we love and care for each other, then I can say this to you. And you'll know exactly what I mean when I say it. In Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those that must give an account. Let them do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. It's a great scripture. Great scripture. When you know what a New Testament church is supposed to be like, and you know what a New Testament leadership should look like, you can read that in the full assurance that you're not going to be controlled, you're not going to be manipulated, you're not going to be harmed, you're not going to be swindled, because they are not New Testament leadership values. They are not. We are here to love and to encourage, to empower, to strengthen you to be all you can be in Christ. And hopefully outshine us in everything. If you come to me next week and say, I raised 10 people from the dead, woo-hoo! You'll be up giving your testimony that day. If I got my neighbour saved, I just reached across and said, do you know Jesus? He loves you. He cares for you. If you're watching this morning on Facebook and you don't know Jesus, you've never met him, he's your personal saviour, and you don't know him, and that would be sad. Emotions. Who'd have them? I would. I would like to speak to you this morning, if you're on Facebook, and you don't know Jesus. If you would, just bow with me, your head, just bow your head, and we're going to say a little prayer this morning. We're just going to ask Jesus to help and to come into your life. If you really would like to serve him, you would really like to become a follower of Jesus. Just say this little prayer with me this morning. Lord Jesus, I would ask you to become my Savior, to come into my life, to help me, to change my life. I'm sorry for the things that I have done wrong. I would ask you to forgive me for those things and help me to overcome them. I want to be a follower of you all the days of my life. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, if you've said that for the first time in your life, God bless you. I hope that God completely changes your life and that you find yourself a good church where you can come into covenant with them, where you can meet with the people, where you can share your difficulties, your burdens, you have people to care for you. Find yourself a good church and may God bless you and have an awesome week. Amen. Good on you, church.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.